Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. I want to welcome you to our show as we are coming to you live from Jerusalem. Well, folks, it is great to be here with you on this prophecy edition of Today in Bible Prophecy Radio. My name is Evangelist August Rosado. We've been off the air for a few weeks to have somewhat of a little bit of a radio sabbatical, if you will. But, folks, we are here on the air, and we are coming to you live from the holy city of Jerusalem. And we are just so grateful that you have decided to join us on the radio broadcast today. It is right now 8:30 p.m. here in Jerusalem. My wife and I had a wonderful day today as we went to the garden tour, where tradition tells us that's where the Lord Jesus was buried, and 3 days later, he physically and he bodily rose from the dead. And we had a wonderful time over there today. Went to see our good friend, Sammy, over there at the Garden Tomb. And it was good to see him as we went and got some stuff for our book table when we go back home. And it was great to see him. My wife and I also had an opportunity to walk into that that ancient 2,000-year-old tomb. Actually, it's even older than that. We've been in there many, many, many times on the when we were there in the Holy Land. And so we never really get tired, folks, going there and just experiencing the land and the blessings of the land. And so we are just extremely blessed to be here, not only taking in the land, but also sharing the gospel. We've been passing out Messianic Hebrew Bibles and just been having a wonderful, wonderful opportunity sharing the good news with both Jews and Arabs. And so I want to thank all of you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support for bringing us here. And, Lord, and you know, folks, when you come to Israel, you really don't come to vacation. You come here to worship. You come here to take in the land, to allow the Bible to come alive to you like never before. And so, of course, this is my 14th trip to the Holy Land, my wife's 9th trip. And I'll tell you, folks, it doesn't get any better than this. To come to this place to see where Bible prophecy will one day be fulfilled. Being here in this very city where one day Jesus will establish his kingdom right in this very city. He will reestablish the throne of King David right in this very city. And he will one day reign from this city for 1,000 years. And folks, all I can say is what a day, glorious day, that is going to be. And so it's just a real joy. It's just a real honor to be here in the holy city of Jerusalem. When we first got here, spent one night in Tel Aviv. Then we drove about an hour and a half or so to Tiberias, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. We spent about 4 days in Tiberias, and I took my wife to places where, you know, most Christian tour groups don't even bother going to. And we went to one place called the Forest. Even though it's not mentioned in the Bible, it's Sepphoris was a very important Jewish city in the first century in the time of Jesus. It's also called Zippori. Zippor is Hebrew for birds. Zippori, birds, because the mountain looks like a bird perched on a nest. And again, even though it's not mentioned in the Bible, especially in the Gospels, Jesus may have made an indirect reference to it, because Sepphoris is a very high mountain overlooking all the other hills in the Galilee. It's a city that's set on a hill. And what Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, to let your light so shine as a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. So I believe he may have made direct, indirect reference to Zippori. We went there. We saw an ancient Jewish synagogue there, dating back maybe to the 3rd century AD. And then, of course, we went into a Roman triclinium, which was the remains of a 3rd, 4th century Roman banquet hall, with the a beautiful mosaic with the face of a woman called the Mona Lisa of the Galilee. And so we had a wonderful time over there in Sepphoris. We went to Mount Arbel, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Again, even though Arbel is not mentioned directly in the Bible, there was an indirect reference where the Bible says in Matthew 14:23 that Jesus went into a mountaintop to pray. Well, Mount Arbel protrudes over where the Sea of Galilee is, overlooking the tribal areas of Zebulun and Naphtali. And, of course, that area is mentioned in Isaiah 9:1-2. And so we were overlooking the tribal areas of Zebulun, Naphtali, and, of course, the beautiful Sea of Galilee itself. And then, of course, we took a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee, had a wonderful time doing that with our good friend Daniel Carmel. So after our time in the Galilee, we drove about 2 hours, 15 minutes, or 20 minutes or so, here to the city of Jerusalem. And that's where we are right now, folks. Tonight, we are here in the holy city of Jerusalem. I will be back in Israel in June, and then my wife and I are leading an 11-day Bible prophecy tour in September. And I can't believe the people that want to sign up to go with us in September. We're calling this one the Bible Prophecy Tour. That will include Petra. The dates for this tour will be September 3rd to the 14th. It will be Israel and Petra. We would love to have you join us on this Bible Prophecy Tour of the Holy Land. I will be teaching Bible prophecy on location on all of the holy sites, especially those sites that are connected to Bible prophecy. So if you're interested and you want to join us on the Bible prophecy tour to Israel, including Petra in southern Jordan, September 3rd to the 14th, you can call me at 774-888-8025, or call my tour agent, Eyal Evan, E-Y-A-L, Eyal Evan, E-V-A-N. Their toll-free number is 1-888-300-3038. Let him know that you want to join August Rosado for the Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel, September 3rd, for the 14th. And folks, people are signing up. I can't believe it. People are signing up. We're looking to take about 15, between 15 and 20 people. The smaller the tour, the better the tour, more personal, get to do more and see more with a smaller group. I like doing small groups. So if you would like to come, we would love to have you. If you decide you want to go, you need to act now. And deposits need to be sent into the tour company ASAP. That will secure your seat on the plane. Those deposits are $300 deposits per person. The price of the tour is $34.50, all inclusive. So again, folks, if you want to come with us, you need to act Now, September will be here before you know it. The Bible prophecy tour to Israel with me, August Rosado, and my wife, September 3rd through the 14th. What I want to do right now is talk about prophecy. Now, you notice how I emphasize that. Prophecy. Purim. Next week here in Israel, Jewish people will be celebrating the festival of Purim. Now, folks, Purim is mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Esther. And when we go to Esther, chapter number 3, and looking at verse number 1, Satan was raising up an individual to destroy every single Jewish person in the land of Shushan, in what is Persia, or what would be today, modern-day Iraq. So we find the story in the book of Esther. And folks, have you ever wondered, whenever something bad happens to the Jewish people, they make a holiday out of it? Here's one of those holidays right here, Purim. Another one would be Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights, the Feast of the Dedication. In Esther chapter 3, in verse number 1, we see the attempt to destroy the Jews. We see in verse number 1 of chapter 3, after these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Now, when you look at this individual called Haman, Haman is a descendant of the Edomite family tree. That Edomite family tree goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 36, which gives us the genealogy of Esau and the Edomites. Esau was the father of the Edomites. And verses 1, 8, and 9 tell us, thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. But then we see in verse number 12 of Genesis 36 that Esau had a grandson. His name was Amalek. Amalek was the grandson of Esau. So Amalek was an Edomite. Amalek became the father of the Amalekites. These Amalekites would be staunch enemies of the Jewish people. But then we see in Exodus chapter 17 that Amalek is at war with Israel because they refused Israel passage as they were making their way to the land of milk and honey. So we know that the Israelites eradicated, not all of them, but eradicated some of those Amalekites. And then we see in 1 Samuel 15 that Amalek had a descendant. His name was Agag, Agag the Amalekite. He was a descendant of Amalek, Amalek the grandson of Esau. And we see in 1 Samuel 15 that Agag tried to kill the Jews. But then God raised up the Jewish prophet Samuel to hew Agag in pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. Saul was supposed to do it. He failed to do it, which led to his demise as the king of Israel, Israel's first king. And so Samuel ended up killing Agag. But then when we get to Esther chapter 3, it tells us that Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. So this guy was a descendant of Agag. So all of these individuals, folks, they are part of the Edomite family tree. So we see that Satan looking to destroy the messianic bloodline, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, and verse number 15. Why is it that in Genesis 6 that we read about the sons of God growing into the daughters of men? The daughters of men in Genesis 4 would be the ungodly line of Cain. That would be his daughters, the ungodly line of Cain. And those sons of God there, always referring to angels, are fallen angels that were having intimacy. These demonic angels had physical form to have intercourse with these women and thus produce these super hybrid human beings. This is the reason why God had to destroy the earth with a flood, because he could not allow this to happen. I mean, why would God want to destroy humanity because you have humans having intimacy with other humans? I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. God had to destroy the earth with a flood because you had these demons in human form going into the daughters of men, having intimacy with them, sexual intercourse with them, making them pregnant, and producing these super hybrid individuals. God could not allow that to happen. And so he destroyed the earth with a flood, with the exception of a people, Noah and his family. And so Satan attempted at that point to contaminate the messianic bloodline of Genesis 3:15. Because there in Genesis 3:15, God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So this is exactly what Satan wanted to do. The coming of Israel's Messiah would bruise the head of Satan, but at the same time would bruise the heel of Israel's Messiah, which is what we find in Psalm 22, where the Bible says, talking about the crucifixion, they pierced my hands and my feet. The Messiah's heel was bruised. And of course, that happened at the crucifixion. But Satan has always tried to annihilate the messianic bloodline of the Messiah. He tried to contaminate it, which he failed in Genesis chapter number 6. And now he's trying to raise up other empires to try to destroy the Jewish people. So he did it with Amalek and with others. And now we get here to the book of Esther, and now Satan is trying to raise up Haman to wipe out every single Jew. Of course, Mordecai refuses to bow down to Haman, and Haman gets frustrated and upset with that. Verse number 6 tells us that Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were through all the whole kingdom of Assyrius, even the people of Mordecai. And then yet in verse number 7, it tells us that they cast Pur, P-U-R. That's where we get the first word for the word Purim, Pur. Pur means to cast lot. So what they did is that they cast lots from the month Nisan, which would be April, to the month Adar, which would be March. Nisan is March, Adar would be April. So they cast lots for 1 month to see who would have that opportunity to kill and to destroy the Jewish people. But when we get to chapter number 9, actually when we read in verse number 10, it says this: Haman the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. Verse 9 says that they may be destroyed. He wanted to destroy every single Jew in the province of Persia. Folks, he wanted to wipe every single Jew out. He did not want any Jews at all in Persia because they refused to bow down to him, because that was the king's commandment, King Ahasuerus said that when you see Haman, he's my right-hand man. He's my second-in-command here in Persia, in Shushan the palace. Every single person must reverence him. Every single person must bow down to Haman. Well, of course, Mordecai refused to do that. And the reason why, folks, that he refused to do that is because of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. Jews for the past 3,500 years have lived and died by Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. This is the great Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Mordecai, being a Jew, knew that verse all too well. Folks, why do you think that Daniel's three Jewish buddies, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, refused to worship Nebuchadnezzar's statue? That statue that was like 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Nebuchadnezzar said that when you hear the sound of all the flutes, the music, the cornet, whatever, all the music, when you hear it, you bow down and you worship my statue. Why do you think Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Well, I know you better know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I like referring to them by their Jewish names. Why do you think those three Jewish boys refuse to bow down to that statue? Because of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And so that was the reason why that Mordecai refused to worship, that Mordecai refused to bow down to Haman. And so now Haman wanted to kill every single Jew in the land. But then, you know, folks, when we get to chapter number 9, the conspiracy is now on for Haman to kill all the Jews in Persia. But you know something? It backfired on him. Because it tells us in verse number 24, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast Pur, that is, the lot to consume them, and to destroy them. So the gallows that Haman made for all the Jews in Persia to hang, every single Jew, he himself was hung on his own gallows. Interesting about the book of Esther is that the name of God is not mentioned once at all. Yet we see the hand of God moving throughout this book on behalf of the Jewish people. And, you know, when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1947 in the caves of Qumran near the Dead Sea, out of all the books of the Bible that were found among the Dead Sea Scrolls, the book of Esther was not among them. And the reason why the book of Esther was not among them is because a Jewish sect called the Essenes, when they wrote, they mentioned God in everything. God was on their lips and on their minds 24 hours a day. So when you read the book of Esther and God's not even mentioned in the book, well, I think they decided not to pen down and copy the book of Esther. I'm just giving you my sanctified speculation there. There was an interesting news article that came up about two Jewish boys in Iran who were just arrested. They were 17, 18. They were arrested in Iran because they scrawled graffiti all over the walls in Iran. And this is what they wrote down. This is what they spray painted. Death to Haman. They were arrested by Iranian police, and it was interpreted that when they wrote death to Haman, that the Iranian regime took that, they interpreted that as meaning that they were speaking out against the regime. Now, folks, when Jews go to jail in Iran, they're never heard or seen from again. And there is some concern for these two teenage Jewish boys being in an Iranian prison, or a jail for that matter. And there are those out there that are trying to obtain their release, saying that it was just a Purim prank. But for some reason, the Iranian officials are not laughing. So hopefully they can try to get their release. But fact of the matter is, folks, is that all these events that take place in the Book of Esther took place in Persia, which today is modern-day Iran. The Iranians still speak the Persian language. They call it Farsi, F-A-R-S-I. They speak Farsi. They still speak the Persian language. Persia, modern-day Iran, is where all of these events took place. So in Esther chapter 9, the Feast of Purim is instituted. It says this in verse 26, wherefore they call these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Pur is Lot, because Haman casted lots to see where they would kill the Jews throughout Persia. Purim is lots, L-O-T-S. When you add the letters I-M to the end of a Hebrew word, it pluralizes that word. So Purim is lots. So verse 26 says, wherefore they call these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning the matter and which had come unto them. And folks, you know, you have roughly about 13,000 Jews living in Iran today. They have freedom of worship over there in Iran. Why they want to live there, I just have no idea. But you have 13,000 Jews that live in Iran today. And they have one representative in the Iranian parliament that represents them. But these two Jewish boys, when they spray painted on the wall, death to Haman, could be interpreted by the Iranian regime as a threat against the Ayatollah Khomeini. And I believe, folks, that's exactly how they're interpreting that right now. So we need to pray for these two Jewish boys. We don't know them by name, but they are right now incarcerated in an Iranian jail because they spray-painted death to Haman. Now, what does Purim, what does this have to do with Bible prophecy? Well, folks, in Ezekiel chapter number 38, it tells us that there will be a Russian-led Arab coalition of nations that will one day come up against the Jewish state of Israel. When we read Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 5, it tells us the Islamic Arab nations that will attack. He talks about Persia, and we know that in 1936, Persia changed their name to Iran. So we know that Iran will be one of the nations that will one day come up against the Jewish state of Israel, along with Russia, Gog and Magog, along with Turkey, Gomer, Togarmer, Meshech, Tubal, Iran, Ethiopia, consisting of Sudan, Somalia, and Libya will all come up against the Jewish state of Israel. Let me take a quick phone call over here. And I did not fix up my external speaker, so hopefully I'll be able to hear this caller. So let's see who we have here. Caller, you're on the air. Are you there? 941 number? Okay, for some reason I'm not getting this caller in. Caller, 941-251, are you there? Okay, if you can, caller, if you can try to call me back. Let's see if we can do this here. All right, caller, if you can try to give me a call back later on, I'm not sure what's going on, but if you can just try to call back, we'll try to see if we can get you on the line. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. And we've just been having some serious issues with the callers that have been calling in. But getting back to Ezekiel 38, we see that all of these Islamic nations will one day come up against the Jewish state of Israel. And God said that he is going to wipe those nations out when they come up against the Jewish state of Israel. And you know, folks, God said that he will defend his people. God said that he will protect his people because the Jewish people are the apple of God's eye. And so he is going to protect the Jewish people. He is going to defend them against their enemies, just like he did with the Jews in Persia at that time. And so we were just going to take that call back in again, the 941 number, and he just disconnected. I just put the external speaker on. And so let's see if we can try to do something different here. Let's see. All right, caller, if you're still there, if you want to call back, I think we may have rectified the situation there. So if you want to try calling back, the 941 area code number, that would be great. And so we see that Ezekiel chapter 38 lays out that end time prophetic scenario that will include Iran, ancient Persia, where all of these events are taking place. And we know, folks, that Iran is an Islamic state that harbors terrorism. So we see that our phone lines are really lighting up right now. Let me see if I can try to get back to 941 over here. Let's see if we can get to him there. Okay. Caller, you're on the air. 941, are you there? Caller, are you there? 941, can you hear me? Okay. Again, we're trying to get these calls in here. Are you there, caller? 941? All right, let me have this here. Folks, we've just been having some serious issues with the call in here. I'm still not sure what's going on. I'm trying to get this in right here. Are you there?
Hello, August.
Yes.
It's John from back home.
Hey, John, how you doing there, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing there?
We're doing great over here in Jerusalem, man. Good to hear from you.
You look like you're having a blast, all those videos that are coming out. I'm glad you guys are there.
Well, we're just blessed to be here, Brother John, in the land of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem. And we're just taking all of this in right here, having an opportunity to share the gospel. And so it's just really been a blessing.
That's great. That really is, August. I have a quick question for you, August, and
sure.
It might end up being your, you know, speculation, but there are a lot of teachings on the Nephilim today. And it seems like people are looking for that. Do you think that could actually be part of the deception that Paul talks about sending people in the wrong direction?
Yeah, you know something, John, I would have to agree with you on that. I believe that would be the case. I mean, there's so many prophecy conferences that are being held all across America, and they're calling these prophecy conferences the conferences concerning the Nephilim. The Nephilim are walking among us today, which is absolutely ridiculous. You know, the Nephilim in Hebrew simply means fallen ones. I asked a rabbi that one time, what does Nephilim mean? He says fallen ones. And so those demons in Genesis chapter 6 were Nephilim. They were fallen ones. They had physical form. They had sexual contact with the daughters of men, which prompted God to destroy the earth with a flood. But to say that we have Nephilim walking around today is absolutely ridiculous. And so
yes,
a lot of these guys at prophecy conferences, they're going way out of left field with this stuff right here. We really need to be careful. But yes, I believe it is said in the Great Deception, you know, down the road, you know, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, and he will be the great deceiver of the entire world. So I agree with you 100% on that, John. That would definitely be the case.
Yes, I tell you, it does. It gets these people looking at a lot of different books. They quote a lot of books, just not the Bible very much.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Listen,
it was. I'm glad to hear from you, and you and Patty really have a good time there.
Well, Brother John, I'm hoping to see you when we get back home to Rhode Island at the end of next week. And let's try to get together, brother, and talk. You and Diane come over to the house for some dinner, and we would love to have you, brother. We want to see you again.
That would be great. Listen, God bless you two. You guys, you take care.
Brother John, is your area code cell number, is it 941?
Nope, this is the 774.
Gotcha. Okay, brother, because we have someone else from 941 on here, so we're going to try to get to him. All right, Brother John, good to hear from you, man.
You too, August. You guys, God bless. We'll see you when you get home.
God bless you, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay, let's get to this caller here, 941. Are you there? Caller 941, are you there? Are you there? Okay, we seem to be having issues with this caller here. We got the other caller in, but for some reason we're not getting this caller coming in. I'm not sure what's going on here, but I'm going to see if we can try to get him on the line over here. Hold on one second, Dale. Let's try to see if we can get this caller. All right. Let's see. Caller 941, are you there? Hello? All right. He's not coming in, so I'm not sure. Not sure what's going on with that. I'll try to give him a call later on. So, folks, we are bringing this broadcast to a close. And, again, we're coming to you live from the city of Jerusalem. Hey, don't forget, if you want to receive our free weekly email newsletters, all you got to do is go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. And while you're there, type in your email address, and you'll start receiving our weekly newsletters. And you can go to our website, look at our online catalog, and order stuff off there that will really be a blessing to you. All right, let's try to get to this guy again because he's here. Let's try to see if we can get him back on here. Here we go. Think we might get him this time. All right, caller 941, are you there? Caller 941, are you there? All right, I don't know what's going on. We had our friend John calling, no problem, but for some reason we cannot get 941-251 here over the air. I'm not sure what is going on. Caller 941, can you hear us? I know someone's there, but for some reason, it's just not, this doesn't seem to be coming through. Call 941. When I get off the air, I will give you a call. And I'm sorry, for some reason, we just can't seem to get you through. We got the other caller through, but for some reason, we could not get you through. I don't know if it's your line or if it's my line, being halfway across the world over here in Israel. I'm sorry, but we just can't seem to be connecting here. So hopefully we can try to connect next time when we're on the air. I really do apologize for that. So again, folks, if you want to receive our free newsletter, again, go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Sign up for the newsletter. Check out the online catalog. Also, if you want to join us in Israel, September 3rd through the 14th this year, 2016, we would love to have you join us. It will be Israel and Petra. So if you would want more information, email me, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com, or you can call me, 774-888-8025. You can also call our tour operator, Israel Trips LLC. That's Israel Trips LLC. Ask for Eyal Evan. Toll-free number is 1-888-300-3038. Let him know you want to join August Rosado on the Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel, September 3rd through the 14th. And he will tell you exactly what you need to do. If you are looking to come with us, then you need to send in your $300 deposit as soon as possible. That would be deducted from the $3,450, so that is per person. So if you want to make plans to join us in the fall, now is the time to get on the ball with that. And again, folks, we would love to have you. Well, folks, we're bringing this broadcast to a close as we are coming to you live from the city of Jerusalem. This is August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministry saying, keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.
Jerusalem, glory to your name, victory, triumph, for which you came. Oh, my God, did they mock you? Oh, my God, did they kill you? For love, battered, broken, bloody yet unbound.